This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. His name was Uday Oja. Remember that. It's quite important, and it does sometimes get a bit lost in this story. One afternoon in July 1859, Police Sergeant Charles Oliver arrived at a chandlery in the Minories, a stone's throw from St. Catherine's Dock on the Thames in London. He'd heard a commotion from a couple of streets away, and arrived to find a crowd looking up, pointing, shouting, and throwing missiles. When Sergeant Oliver shielded his eyes from the sun, he saw on the roof a man, a black man, looking agitated and frightened. With a constable named Scott, Oliver pushed through the crowd into the chandlery, ran up the stairs, and entered a room whose door had clearly been forced open. He climbed out onto the roof and faced the man, drawing his truncheon as he did so. The man cried out and lunged at him, and the policeman felt blows hitting him from something he was holding in his hand. Oliver hit out with his truncheon, and the two came together, rolling around in the pigeon detritus and the gutter sludge, until the man was eventually subdued. Oliver had suffered a dozen stab wounds. When the man had been taken to the police station, the chandlery owners, an Italian couple named Maggi, told quite a story. His name, they said, was John Bardo. He was around 32 years old, and he'd been staying with them for the last month at the request of a friend and customer, a sea captain from Genoa called Francisco Capello. Bardo, they said, had been a member of Capello's crew, who had been ill recently. Capello had wondered whether they might give him a room and a job, until a ship called the Guinea came into port, where he would sign on as a crew member and go back to join the captain in Genoa. Of course, if he was happier living with and working for the Maggis, that was fine too. The chandlers agreed, but John Bardo had become increasingly unstable and hostile, they said, until he'd locked himself in his room and was refusing food. They'd become so concerned for his welfare, they'd forced open the door, just in time to see him climbing out of the window and onto the roof, which is when the police arrived. None of this story was true. His name was Uday Ojan. Remember that. Captain Capello had bought Ojan as a slave in Lagos, taken him aboard his ship and sailed to Genoa, planning to sell him on at a profit. For whatever reason, he failed to do this before having to set sail again, this time for London. No matter, he would try again on his return. In London, the slave had fallen ill. We don't know with what, but he was bad enough to be placed on the hospital ship Dreadnought at Greenwich, where he was registered as John Bardo. But his name was Uday Ojan. Remember that. Capello feared that Ojan would be able to walk free from the Dreadnought and disappear into the whirl of London, to be lost to him forever. So he posted a couple of lads to keep watch. When Ojan recovered, he was taken to the Maggi's chandlery and put to work, being locked in a tiny attic room at the end of each day. He was never paid. Money wasn't mentioned. Eventually he stopped eating, fearing his food was being poisoned. Then he refused to leave his room, barricading himself in until the Maggi's broke the door down, and Ojan, in a strange place, in a strange land, where they spoke a language he didn't understand, fled onto the roof, fearing for his life. When a jeering crowd gathered below, launching rocks at him, he only grew more frightened. Then a man brandishing a club appeared on the roof in front of him, making for him. All he could do was fight for his life. John Bardo went on trial at the Old Bailey, charged with stabbing, cutting and wounding a police officer with intent to murder him or cause him grievous harm. His name was Uday Ojan. Remember that. A Colonel Hughes of the Asiatic and African Seamen's Home and Strangers' Friends Society engaged a lawyer named Slay on Ojan's behalf, and when the Maggies took the stand, he tore their story to shreds. By the time John Bardo was cornered on the roof of the Chandlery, Slay concluded, he was being hunted by so many he thought they were coming to sell him back into slavery. The jury immediately returned a verdict of not guilty, reads the trial report, followed by a loud and hearty burst of applause, which was not rebuked by his lordship. The case of John Bardo made all the newspapers. It only went to show the unimpeachable nature of British justice, they said, and of course the British antipathy to slavery. The London newspaper, the Weekly Dispatch, was a typical example, proud that justice had been done and expressing great sympathy for the plight of John Bardo. Yet it still managed to throw in phrases like the imperfectly developed brain of the African savage, the cunning cruelty of the savage nature, and they compared the defendant's sense of moral responsibility to that of a gorilla. His name was Uday Ojan. Remember that. Within a week, he was back in court. He'd been placed in the Strangers' Home for Asiatic and African Seamen in Limehouse, where one night he had attacked with a razor the four men with whom he was sharing a dormitory, seriously wounding two of them. He appeared in the dock with heavy bandages around his head and on his left hand, and appeared ill and weak. He had a few words of Portuguese, so a Portuguese speaker translated for him as best he could. He told the interpreter he hadn't understood where he was, and was convinced the others in the room were slave merchants, who were either going to sell him or kill him. He was remanded at the Clerkenwell House of Detention, pending an examination of his mental state. He is not the first African who has been goaded into madness by slavery and oppression, said Colonel Hughes from the Strangers' Home, speaking on his behalf. In the late evening of July the 15th, 1859, William Treevey, the prison night watchman, looked into Ojan's cell and saw him asleep in his hammock. Passing 20 minutes later, he observed the prisoner lying on the floor, face down, with his head beneath a cupboard. On entering the cell, Treevey found him dead, a length of the bandage used to bind his hand injury around his neck. Nobody had been to examine his mental state, the reason he'd been placed there in the first place. The cause of death, the coroner heard, was strangulation. Treevey suggested Ojan had hung himself from the water pipe running across the top of the cell, but it was pointed out the bandage wasn't long enough for that. The coroner thought Ojan must have used his hands to make himself a tight ligature. The prison's medical officer, Henry Wakefield, readily agreed, conceding that while there had been nothing to suggest the man was suicidal, it was quite plausible he could have killed himself with the bandage, citing a case he'd seen of a woman who had strangled herself with the strings of her own nightcap once. Considering that even by the accounts of the prison representatives themselves, their prisoner had in the space of 20 minutes gone from being asleep in his hammock to strangled to death on the floor, the inquest was over very quickly indeed. John Bardo had committed suicide due to temporary insanity. A representative from the Strangers' Home pointed out that the dead man's name was not, in fact, John Bardo, but Uday Ojan. The coroner pursed his lips and decided that all the paperwork was in the name of John Bardo, and it was too late to change all that now. John Bardo he remained, deprived, even in death, of the dignity of his own name. On his body were found brands burned into his flesh that suggested he had been sold as a slave at least twice. Welts zigzagged down his back, betraying some brutal floggings. Marks so deep as though cut with a knife, the coroner observed. One voice absent from all this is that belonging to Uday Ojan. In fact, next to nothing of him remains at all, certainly under his real name. I could find no grave location, no death certificate. The newspaper reports of the travails of John Bardo are the only evidence we have that he even ever existed. Yet he did have a voice, after a fashion. At his trial for wounding Sergeant Oliver, it emerged that his first language was Yoruba, which suggests he most likely came from what's now southwestern Nigeria. Some accounts of the trial were under the impression that Yoruba was the name of a country. Others transcribed the name of the language liberally. In one, he was apparently from somewhere called Europia. Remarkably for the times, an interpreter was found, a Miss M.B. Servano, also presumably from Nigeria, as the court record specifies she was educated in England. She translated for the defendant, which means we do have the statement Uday Ojan made to the court that day, more than 160 years ago, via Miss Servano, of whom there is also no other record. These are as close to Uday Ojan's own words as we'll ever get. It's all we have. It's all that's left. I was the slave of a man by the name of Berto at Lagos in Africa, who took me on board a ship to work and afterwards sold me to a white man of the name Captain Capello. Captain Capello told me that he was my master because Berto had sold me to him. I don't know how much he paid for me. I was more than a year in Captain Capello's service, but he never gave me any pay, nor did I ever sign or make any agreement as a seaman. I was taken to Genoa, where Captain Capello wanted to sell me, but no one would buy me. I was then brought to England. When the ship arrived, I told Captain Capello that I would not go again to Genoa, and begged him to put me on board a man of war, that I might be free and learn English. He sent me on board the hospital ship, where I told one of my countrymen I was a slave. From this, I was sent to a house on the shore, where I was told I would no longer be a slave, but work and get wages. I was told that if I worked, they would give me clothing and money, but they gave me nothing but food, and wanted me to go to some other place, and so many people were sent after me, I thought they wanted to take me to burn me. So I shut myself up, and then got out of the window, on the top of the house. When I was seized, I had a knife in my hand. Whatever I did was in self-defense. I never intended to hurt any man. His name was Uday Ojan. Remember that. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Connolly. Next week, something a little different. For Halloween, there'll be three stories over 3 days on the 29th, 30th and 31st of October. Each with a sort of Halloween theme. I know.
Spooky.
Thanks to everyone who's donated via ko-fi.com. I think it's supposed to be coffee, but it's ko-fi.com. I do really appreciate it. If you've enjoyed this or any or all of the other episodes of Coastal Stories and feel like standing at the price of a pint, and not at swanky London prices either, it's ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/coastalstories. There's a link in the notes for this episode. I'm on Twitter at Charlie Connolly. We're on Facebook at Coastal Stories Podcast. And these waves were recorded at low tide in the sunshine on Deal Beach on October the 22nd, 2020.